इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। वंस अगेन थैंक यू डियर डिवोटीज। श्रील प्रभुपाद He is very kind and merciful. Every day, He has made a provision for all of us to do Swadhyay, self-study, as well as explaining to other devotees. So, this Srimad Bhagavatam class, Srila Prabhupada said, that it is meant for all devotees to come together and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam from different angles of vision. So, dear devotees, today we will try to discuss something from 10th canto. That is the current chapter which is going on here, 20th chapter. And the verse for today is verse number 10. The verse is displayed in front of you, dear devotees. I will sing it. Please repeat after me.
Asannutpathagaminya Shudranadyonushushyati Pumso yathasvatantrasya देह द्रविण संपदः आसन्नुत्पथगामिन्या क्षुद्रनद्योनुशुष्यति पुंसो यथा स्वतंत्रस्य देह द्रविण संपदः आसन्नुत्पथगामिन्या क्षुद्रनद्योनुशुष्यति पुंसो यथा स्वतंत्रस्य देह द्रविण संपदः।
सिनोनिम्स आसन दे बिकेम उत्पथ गामिन्यः स्ट्रेड फ्रॉम देयर कोर्सेस Kshudra, insignificant. Nadyah, the rivers. Anushushyati, drying up. Pumsah, of a person. Yatha, as. Swatantrasya, who is not independent. That is, who is under the control of his senses. Deha, the body. Dravina, physical property. Sampada, and riches. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. With the advent of the rainy season, the insignificant streams which had become dry began to swell and then strayed from their proper courses. Exactly like the body, property and money of a man controlled by the urges of his senses. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments, during the rainy season, many small ponds, lakes and rivulets become filled with water. Otherwise, the rest of the year they remain dry. Similarly, materialistic persons are dry, but sometimes when they are in a so-called opulent position with a home or children or a little bank balance, they appear to be flourishing. But immediately afterwards, they become dry again, like the small rivulets and ponds. The poet Vidyapati said that in the society of friends, family, children, wife, and so on, there is certainly some pleasure, but that pleasure is compared to a drop of water in the desert. Everyone is hankering after happiness, just as in the desert, everyone is hankering after water. If in the desert there is a drop of water, the water is there, of course, but the benefit from that drop of water is very insignificant. In our materialistic way of life, we are hankering after an ocean of happiness. But in the form of society, friends, and mundane love, we are getting no more than a drop of water. Our satisfaction is never achieved, as the small rivulets, lakes, and ponds are never filled with water in the dry season. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So dear devotees, once again coming back to the verse, this verse is a description of the rainy and autumn seasons in Sri Vrindavan. And right now, currently, we are here in Chicago, and just before the winter set in, it is the last part of autumn. So I think the Srimad Bhagavatam and the season in Chicago, they are, you know, running on parallel tracks. I don't know whether it is by, you know, providence or it is by somebody's arrangement, but Srimad Bhagavatam and the weather are running parallel to each other. Dear devotees, this is a beautiful description of Sri Dham Vrindavan. And since Kartik Mass is approaching, many of us might be thinking of actually going to Sri Dham Vrindavan. Now, we are hearing of a description of Sri Vrindavan in the rainy and autumn seasons. So this description begins after the pastime of Krishna swallowing up the forest fire in Srimad Bhagavatam. After Krishna swallowed up the forest fire and Lord Balram killed the demon Pralamba, that was the previous chapter. And all the cowherd boys, they went to their homes and told everyone about the great heroic pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. Then Srila Sukadeva Goswami starts describing this particular season known as the rainy season and the autumn season. Now, in the rainy season, what happens, Srila Sukadeva Goswami describes, is that the entire sky becomes filled with clouds of various colors, especially dark colors. That sky which was clear earlier in the summers, it was mostly clear, it becomes covered with clouds. And he compares it to the particular material world, which although initially when it is not created, you know, there is no creation, suddenly the material world becomes filled with modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. So those clouds are of various colors, white, some clouds are white color, some are dark color, some are multicolored. So similarly, the material world becomes full. Before creation, there is no color. After creation, the material world becomes full of these various colors. Then he says that these clouds are raining on the dry earth. And this dry earth is compared to a person who has nothing, a very impoverished person. And the clouds are compared to a very generous person. So just like a very generous person gives donation to an impoverished person, similarly the clouds started pouring rainfall on the earth. And dear devotees, the clouds are also compared to someone else. The clouds are compared to kings, because the clouds also got their water by evaporating that water from the ocean. So just as kings are collecting taxes from the entire mass of population and then distributing it back to them in the form of welfare projects, similarly, you know, these clouds also collected water from the entire ocean and ended up distributing it back to the human society so that this water can again be replenished. And after this, Srila Sukadev Goswami describes how all the brahmacharis in the brahmachari ashram, you know, they were being compared, because suddenly when the rainy season arrives, the frogs start, you know, croaking, and you know, when they are croaking, so Srila Sukadev Goswami compares them to the Vedic recitation of hymns by the brahmacharis, because that's what happened. When the guru has not ordered them, they will keep quiet, and suddenly when the guru says chalo start, at that point of time all the brahmacharis gananam tvam ganapatingam havamahe, in the morning they will begin. So once they begin, it is compared to the croaking of the frogs in the rainy season. I don't know why Sukadev Goswami has selected this particular analogy. It's a very interesting analogy though. Then comes this verse. Now this asan utpatha gaminyah kshudra nadyo. These nadyah, these rivers, they were kshudra. They were very tiny in the summer season. Why were they tiny? Anushushyati. They were dried up in the summer season. Now what happened? Now asan, now they have become utpatha gaminya. They have become flooded, and so much flooded that they have deviated from their designated path. That is what has happened. Now these rivers are also compared to something. What are they compared to? Pumsaha yatha asvatantrasya. They are compared to a human being who is not free, asvatantra. Asvatantra means that human being is bound by his own desires. He is not a free human being. So just as a human being who is bound by his own desires, when he is poor, he cannot do anything. He cannot go on the, you know, he cannot go on utpatha. He cannot deviate from the path in life, you know, the correct path in life so easily. But when somebody has fabulous wealth and opulence, dear devotees, at that point of time, a person can easily deviate from the correct path in life. I was speaking about this in the first, there was a Padyavali session. In the first Padyavali session, I was speaking about Shri Mada. Shri Mada means intoxication for wealth. Out of all the intoxications which are present in the world, the greatest intoxication is Shri Mada. The intoxication for wealth. Because by this intoxication of wealth, all other intoxications are brought about. Even great personalities, they become affected by Shri Mada. So the devotee poet Hari Suri says at this point of time, he says that even if somebody is a very great person, but if they are affected by Shri Mada, intoxication for wealth, they can end up breaking the regulative principles. Because it is said utpatha gaminya, people deviate from the correct path in life. Why? Because they are having wealth. Just as the rivers who had no water earlier, if they have no water, how can they deviate from the correct path? For deviating from the correct path, they need a lot of water. But in the rainy season, they got a lot of water. They deviated from the correct path in life. So all regulative principles can be broken by such individuals, dear devotees. For example, I will give you an example. How did the great personalities also end up breaking regulative principles? First, there are four regulative principles. The first regulative principle is no meat eating, especially no violence towards any living entities. Arishuri says there was a great king named Dasharath, and Dasharath, he was very much attached to hunting for deers in the forest. And when Dasharath was attached to hunting for deers in the forest, one time he did not realize that he has shot an arrow, and that arrow, instead of hitting the deer, it ended up hitting Shravan Kumar, who was a very saintly person. But that happened only because he was hunting in the forest. Now, why was he hunting in the forest? Because he is a king. He is required to. He is not required to hunt, but it is a matter of prestige for the kings to hunt in the forest. But all this happens because he is a king. And because he is a king, there is Shri, or there is wealth. And along with wealth comes Shri Mada. So, because of that, Dasharath got cursed. because of committing violence in the name of hunting. Second is no intoxication. And the two sons of Kuvera, whose names are Nalakuvar and Manigreve, they are very great personalities. But unfortunately, they fell victim to no intoxication. They broke this rule of no intoxication, because of which they were cursed. Third is no gambling. Now, no gambling, Pandavas are the prime example, because Pandavas ended up gambling everything, even though they are the, they are the greatest saintly souls in the universe. Yudhishthir ended up gambling everything. So, all this happened because they are having Shri Mada, or intoxication of wealth. And last is no illicit sex. And this was demonstrated in the life of Ravan, who was a pandit of all the Vedas. He knew all the Vedas. He was a commentator on all the four Vedas. But still that person, because of not being able to follow this regulative principle, he fell down. But all regulative principles are broken, dear devotees, by having Shri Mada, by having wealth. Because if somebody doesn't have wealth, how can he engage in meat eating, intoxication, gambling, and how can he afford to have illicit sex? It is not possible. So, for somebody whose eyes are intoxicated with Shri Mada, the intoxication of wealth, the devotee poet says, Daridrya Manjanam, the best medicine is to apply the stinging ointment of poverty. Best medicine is to apply the stinging ointment of poverty. So again there will be summers, dear devotees. Again summer will come. And again the rivers will fall into poverty. And when the rivers fall back into poverty, they will realize, oh, we deviated from the correct path in life. So this, dear devotees, the best remedy for anybody who is infected with the Shri Mada is Daridrya Anjan, the ointment, Anjan of Daridrya, poverty. And the devotee poet says, don't think that this is a curse. Don't think. Never think that if, because Narad Muni cursed both the trees, both of you, both the sons of Kuvera. You are sons of the richest person in the universe. But I curse you to become trees and you lose all your wealth. Don't think that it is a curse. Because the devotee's curse is actually a benediction. Now somebody may say, theoretically we have heard that devotee's curse is also a benediction. How is the devotee's curse a benediction? Because, dear devotees, there is a statement in the Bhagavatam. When Krishna becomes especially pleased upon somebody, what does he do with that person? Takes away all his wealth. Yasyaham anugrinami harishye tad dhanam shanai. When I become pleased on someone, I take away all his wealth. And when the devotees become displeased with someone, they take away all their wealth. So dear devotees, what is the difference in both cases, whether they are pleased or they are not pleased? The end result is the same. So the devotee's curse is actually non-different from the devotee's benediction. In both cases, you are going to end up losing your wealth. And when the Shri Mada goes, at that time, one will realize that, one is exactly the same as all other living entities. Just like all living entities are suffering in the world, similarly, I am also suffering. So this is a beautiful description of Sridham Vrindavan, and its practical application in our day-to-day life is given here in this verse. Dear devotees, many of us might be going to Sridham Vrindavan here in this time. Anybody going to Sridham Vrindavan in Kartik this year? Okay, Mataji is going. Prabhuji is also going. Both of you are going. So many times we go to Sridham Vrindavan, but sometimes we are disappointed to see that the Vrindavan which is there in front of our eyes today does not at all appear like the Vrindavan which is described here in the 20th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Does not appear like that. It appears as if Vrindavan has changed a lot. Have we had this feeling when we have been to Vrindavan? Yes, we have had this feeling. Why did Vrindavan change so much? So, this answer is given by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Krishna Sandarbha. Why does Vrindavan appear not the same to us? In the Krishna Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami is discussing about it. And Srila Jiva Goswami is quoting a verse from the 12th canto. This verse is from the 12th canto, chapter number 2, verse number 29 and 30. If anybody has the Vedabase folio on their mobiles, they can look up this verse. This is 12th canto, chapter number 2, verse number 29 and 30. 12, 2, 29 and 30. So this verse is Vishnor Bhagavato Bhanuhu Krishnakhyo Saudivam Gataha Tada Vishat Kalir Lokam Pape Yad Ramate Janaha Yavat Sapada Padma Abhyam Sprishan Aste Ramapatihi Tavat Kalir Vai Prithvim Parakrantum Nachashakat. Jiva Goswami is quoting this verse in his Krishna Sandarbha. He is saying Vishnor Bhagavato Bhanuhu. Vishnu is like the ray of the sun and Bhanuhu, Krishna is the sun. So Vishnu is like the expansion or the part and Krishna is like the Bhanuhu, the sun. Krishnakhyav, when that Krishna, divam gataha, when he went back home, back to his place, spiritual world, tadavishat kalir lokam, at that time Kali Yuga entered into this world. Pape yad ramate janaha. All the jana, all the people in this world, in this age, are engrossed in papa, in sinful activities. Yavat, but as long as sa pad padma abhyam, till Lord Krishna's two lotus feet, sprishan aste, were touching the surface of this planet earth. As long as Krishna's lotus feet were touching this planet earth. Ramapatihi, tavat kalir vai prithvim parakrantum na chashaka. Till that time, Kali Yuga could not exert its influence on this planet. Only after Krishna disappeared from this planet, did Kali Yuga start exerting its influence on this planet. Jiva Goswami quotes this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 12th canto. Then Srila Jiva Goswami starts explaining. Srila Jiva Goswami says that Krishna went back to his planet, Divam Gataha, that he went back to Vaikuntha or Goloka, what is known as Goloka. He went to Goloka and Jiva Goswami says, Divam Prapanchika Loka Gocharam Mathura Dinam Eva Prakash Vishesha Rupam Vaikuntha Lokam Gatas. So he went back to that abode which is not visible to the material eye. Krishna went to that abode which is not visible to material eye. Tada kalir lokam avishat. At that time Kali Yuga entered into this particular world, dear devotees. Before Krishna left, as long as Krishna was present, Kali Yuga could not exert its influence. Vrindavan was as it was 5000 years ago, exactly during the presence of Lord Krishna. It was a replica of the spiritual world. I hope you are able to understand. The Vrindavan which was present here was a replica of the spiritual world. Jiva Goswami continues describing. Esham sacha prakashah. This Mathura which we see in the material world, this Vrindavan Dham which we see in the material world is a prakash, is a replica of the Vrindavan which is present there in Goloka, in the spiritual world. So it is a replica of that Vrindavan. Replica is different from expansion. Because these two terms should not be confused with each other. Expansion means there is some original from which something expands and then again comes back into the original. That is called as expansion. It is not an expansion. The exact technical term used is prakash. Prakash means it is a replica. So this particular Vrindavan Dham which was present here 5000 years ago, that Vrindavan Dham was a replica. Or currently also it is a replica of that Vrindavan which is present in Goloka. It's a replica. Prithivisthopi, although it is in contact with the earth, but still antardhana shaktya tam asprishan eva virajate. Although it is in contact with the earth, still by a special energy called as antardhan shakti. Antardhan shakti means the energy by which it gradually disappears. It is present in contact with earth, but it never actually contacts the earth. That is the reason why gradually it disappears from the surface of the earth. Antardhan shakti. It is present in on earth, that Goloka Vrindavan, but gradually it is disappearing from the surface of the earth because of antardhan shakti. So after explaining this, Jiva Goswami says, if somebody asks Jiva Goswami, can you give an example of some things which have disappeared since Krishna left? Jiva Goswami says, I will describe. इसे अतस्तया न स्पृश्यते पृथिव्यादि भूतमयैर अस्माभिर. सो देयरफॉर वी हु हैव मटेरियल सेंसेस वी कैनॉट सी द मेनी एस्पेक्ट्स ऑफ दैट अबोड. ऑलराइट, व्हिच एस्पेक्ट्स कैन यू नॉट सी? ही सेज वराह उक्त महाकदंबादिर इव. फॉर एग्जाम्पल, इन द वराह पुराण देर इज अ बिग कदंब ट्री डिस्क्राइब्ड विच वॉज देयर इन वृंदावन वेन कृष्णा वॉज प्रेजेंट. Now this Kadamba tree is described in the Varaha Puran. It is Mahakadamba. Mahakadamba, and the Varaha Puran describes that here in Vrindavan there was a great Kadamba tree at Kaliya Hrada, at Kaliya Ghat. There was a great Kadamba tree and it had hundreds of branches and it was spread very widely. Today if we go to Kaliya Ghat, we will not see that Kadamba tree. Jiva Goswami gives this as an example of a particular place which has disappeared. The dham is there, but it is partially disappearing after Krishna has disappeared. All right. So, but are there some things which are still visible? Jiva Goswami says, yes, there are many things which are visible. He says, yes, tu prapanchika loka gocharo mathuradi prakashaha soyam kripaya. Everything which is visible only by the mercy of the dham. Otherwise, dham should also have disappeared along with Lord Krishna. That the dham is present is purely by its mercy. There are many incarnations of the Lord, and after the incarnations disappear, the dham also disappears completely. For example, Matsya Dev. Now, where Matsya arrived, that place has disappeared completely. Where Narsimha Dev arrived, that place has disappeared completely. Some replicas are there. Some devotees have created replicas in various parts of India. But the original place, that place has disappeared from our vision. So many times the dham disappears immediately along with the Supreme Lord. But that Mathura and Vrindavan have stayed till today partially also is because of their mercy that they have stayed back after Lord Krishna. And Jiva Goswami says, Prithivim Sprishan Evavatirnaha. And still it is partially touching the surface of the planet. Sprishan, it is touching, simply touching. It has not become material itself. It is simply in contact with that material aspect of planet Earth. And he says, Atastaya cha sprishyate tadrishar asmabhir drishyamana. We can also see some things. What can you see? Kadambadir eva. Like the Kadamba, thousands of Kadamba trees that are present today. Jiva Goswami is writing 500 years ago, wherein thousands of Kadamba trees were present in Sridham Vrindavan. So today that also has disappeared quite a lot, dear devotees. So we can see objects like ordinary Kadamba trees, but we cannot see that Mahakadamba which was present described in Varaha Puran. So that has disappeared from our vision, dear devotees. Jiva Goswami says, why does this happen? This happens because when Krishna asmimscha prakashe yadavatirno bhagavans, when Bhagavan appears, Bhagavan's feet touch the earth. Although they never become material, his feet touch the earth. When Bhagavan's feet touch the earth, at that time the dham also touches the earth. A replica of the dham touches the earth. Tat sparshat tam sprishan eva. By Krishna's touch, the dham also touches. Samprati, at this moment, tad asprishta prakashe. Now Krishna is no longer touching the surface of the earth. Does it mean that Krishna is not present here? He is present, but his pastimes have switched off. It is called as Aprakat Lila. Aprakat Lila means the pastimes are no longer happening in front of the eyes of the common people. So they are going on, but he is not touching the surface of the earth. Simply the switch is off. And when the Dwapar Yuga arrives, that switch is again on, so that everybody can see. At that time, the dham again manifests with all its, you know, particular potencies, all its various places. When again Krishna has to disappear, Krishna does not actually go to the spiritual world and, you know, travel in an airplane or something like that. It's just that the pastimes switch off. And they are still continuously going in Vrindavan. And the dham also gradually, you know, it switches off. But that happens gradually. By its mercy, it is still there for some time. But gradually the dham is also going to switch off. And that is expected in this age. As long as we can maintain Sri Dham Vrindavan, to the true faithful descriptions that are there in Shastra, that is our good fortune. But gradually Vrindavan is going to disappear from our vision. This is what Srila Jiva Goswami is saying in Krishna Sandarbha. So, Jiva Goswami's conclusion is this. When the dham appears, it appears with Krishna. So, Krishna and the dham appear to be non-different. The dham and its replica are non-different when Krishna appears. But the difference develops when Krishna disappears. Krishna disappears, then that original dham and the replica start differing in their particular manifestations. As long as Krishna is present, that dham will be exactly as it is in Goloka. Because it is now fully touching the planet Earth. As soon as Krishna stops touching planet Earth, the dham will also stop touching planet Earth. But it will take some time to disappear. That is what is described. I hope you are able to understand. It's a slightly complicated subject matter. Yes. So this is Sandarbhas, dear devotees. They are very philosophical. Sometimes we are relishing poetry and it's so nice. But in the morning class, Prabhupada especially emphasized that we should exercise our minds and we should use it in studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this is one aspect of our philosophy. A cake becomes nice when there are two things in it. One is the bread and one is the icing. So if we only have bread, then it is not a cake. And if we only have icing, it's not the cake. So if we simply have philosophy, that's all right. And if we simply have rasa, that is also all right. But both things should be present. Just as a cake has both elements, the bread as well as the icing should be there. So dear devotees, this abode of Vrindavan we should always reside in. Srila Rupa Goswami has said in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Krishnam smaran janam chasya preshtam nija samihitam. One should always remember Krishna. Always, never forget Krishna. Most important instruction in spiritual life is about smaran. Krishnam smaran. Remember whom? Krishna. Only Krishna, only me and Krishna, nobody else in between. No, no. Janam cha asya. Also remember Krishna's associates. There are many selfish spiritualists who think it will only be between me and Krishna and nobody else will be there. Dear devotees, this is not the scene in the spiritual world. Krishnam smaran janam cha asya. If we love Krishna, we will love his associates also. So always remember Krishna along with Krishna's associates. Preshtham, they are dear to Krishna. But which associate should we especially remember? Nija samihitam, Rupa Goswami says, those which are very near and dear to us in our mood. So if we are inspired by the mood of, you know, a particular devotee, this is on the platform of Raganuga Bhakti, we get inspired by the mood of a particular devotee, then we always keep that devotee within our heart. And Rupa Goswami says, tat tat katha ratas chasav, always be engaged in hearing katha about those devotees. And about that Lord Krishna, always hear his katha. Kuryad vasam vraje sada. Always reside in Shridham Vrindavan. This is what Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Eastern wave, which is the first, eastern division, first division, second wave. This is verse number 294. Krishnam smaran janam cha asya preshtham nija samihitam. Tat tat katha ratas chasau kuryad vasam vraje sada. Always reside in Vrindavan. Dear devotees, currently where are we residing? So we are residing in a place named Chicago where Krishna has given two adjectives, Dukkhalayam and Ashashvatam. Krishna gave two adjectives to Chicago, Dukkhalayam and Ashashvatam. And it's not that these adjectives are applicable only to Chicago. Wherever we go in the material world, up to Lord Brahma's planet, these two adjectives will follow us like faithful friends. They will always come with us. Dukkhalayam and Ashashvatam. So dear devotees, we should therefore reside in another universe itself. Kuryad vasam vraje sada. So Jiva Goswami comments on this verse and he says, Samarthya sati. If one has the samarthya, the capability, vraje, one should reside in the actual vraja. Now somebody might interpret, our temple is vraja. Somebody might, you know, interpret it like that. So Jiva Goswami clarifies. Shriman Nanda Vrajavasasthane. In that Vrindavan where Nanda Maharaj resided. Okay, that Vrindavan you should reside. Shri Vrindavan Adav Sharirena Vasam Kuryat. He says reside with your physical body in that Vrindavan. if somebody has the capabilities. So that is Srila Jiva Goswami's commentary on this verse. Because Rupa Goswami is saying, Kuryat Vasam Vraje Sada. Always reside in Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami says, if one has the capability, reside with one's physical body in Sri Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj's Sri Vrindavan, where Krishna's pastimes took place 5000 years ago. In that geographic area named Sri Vrindavan, one should reside. And then what if we are not able to do that? So Jiva Goswami is merciful. He says, Tad abhave, if one does not have the samarthya or the capability, manasa api, at least reside using your mind in Sri Dham Vrindavan. Iti artha. This is the meaning of Srila Rupa Goswami's instructions. So dear devotees, this is what is described by the acharyas about Sri Dham, because this entire chapter is about the abode Sri Vrindavan and how it becomes so beautiful in the rainy season. I would like to end with a verse which describes the rivers of Vrindavan. You know, because these rivers are described here, they are described like materialistic people. But we should not end on that note. We should end on a sweet note. So ending on a sweet note, there is an anonymous devotee poet who has written a very nice verse. Nakenapi shrutam drishtam vairina vairishushyati aho bhanu sutavara bhavasindhur vishushyati. He says, na kenapi shrutam. Nobody has ever heard till now. Drishtam, nobody has ever seen till now this thing happen. What? Varina vari shushyati. That water can dry up water. Dear devotees, have we ever heard about any water which can dry up water? No, we have never heard. But then the devotee poet says, Aho, all glories to Bhanu Suta, the daughter of Bhanu, Surya Nandini. Who is Surya Nandini? Yamuna. Vara, all glories to her waters. Bhava Sindhur Visheshyati. Because they dry up the entire ocean of material existence, dear devotees. All glories to the waters of Yamuna, which dry up the waters of the ocean of material existence. So, dear devotees, this was a small presentation on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10th, Chapter 20th, verse number 10. I would like to thank you very much for kindly giving me your time here this morning. I will not take much more time and I will pause here. Let us all say, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Nitai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. So we have time for some questions and answers. Somebody wants to ask a question. Yes, Madhya.
So when you were talking about how Vrindavan is actually, once Krishna takes office, when he goes back, actually Vrindavan is not manifest in the same way. Most of it is almost gone. So how do we understand, for those who are seeing the Aprakat Leela that is happening in Bauma Vrindavan, so for them is the entire vision seen? Or?
Yes. So the question is, for those who are having ordinary vision, Vrindavan is not fully manifest. But is it fully manifest for those who are able to see a Prakat Leela? Oh, definitely. For them it is fully manifest. There is a pastime where Rupa Goswami was having kheer, you know, in the Aprakat Leela. He was, you know, having sweet rice in the Aprakat Leela. And from the external vision, he is, you know, drinking only one glass of buttermilk every few days. After few days, Rupa Goswami ends up having a stomach disorder because of overeating. So all the Vaishnavas are surprised. How is Rupa Goswami, you know, having overeating disorder? So that time Rupa Goswami confidentially revealed to a few devotees. Actually, yesterday it was Srimati Radharani who was cooking the kheer. So I could not control myself. You know, I ended up eating a lot. So which Vrindavan is this kheer being cooked? That only he knows. And only all the devotees who are very dear to him, they know. So that is possible for them to see. He has said in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Adyapi, even today, devotees can see. Some devotees, fortunate devotees, and not everybody can see. It requires a lot of Sukriti as well as devotional Sukriti as well as most importantly it requires the permission of Lord Krishna for somebody to be able to see that Vrindavan. It's not a very easy task. Bhakti is sulabha, very easy to begin bhakti. But uttama bhakti is sudurlabha. One of the characteristics of uttama bhakti, it is very rarely achieved. This is one of the six characteristics of uttama bhakti, not of bhakti, of uttama bhakti, of pure bhakti. One of the six characteristics, it is sudurlabha. Bhakti is sulabha. Uttama bhakti is sudurlabha. Krishna doesn't give it very easily. You have to fight with Krishna in order to get it, you know. Struggle with Krishna. And the best way of, you know, struggling is to cry for Krishna, because Krishna doesn't have any reply for that. So this is the, they can see, definitely.
The other question is about the Mahakadambas, talking from Krishna Sandarbha. I'm just trying to relate it to the commentaries, that I mean, purport. I believe, I don't know if my memory is okay, Prabhupada also talks about two instances about that Kadamba tree. One is, there is one person who commented that when Garuda was carrying the Amrita, a drop fell on it and it was revived. Whereas the other poet says, no, it just when Krishna's feet touched on the tree, it actually revived. You don't have to go around and say Garuda touched. So is it not still available for us to see if Krishna's feet was if Garuda?
So the question is, there are many pastimes related to the Mahakadamba tree which Jiva Goswami has quoted from Varaha Puran. And is it not still available for us to see? The answer is no. Jiva Goswami says no. It had thousands of branches, very huge Kadamba tree. Now it is no longer there.
Not even one branch.
Huh?
Not even a little bit of the remnants.
Disappeared. Jiva Goswami's word, it disappeared. We cannot see. So I have to be faithful to his words. We cannot see. That's it. So I cannot say anything additional about it. It has disappeared from our vision. See, in Vrindavan, there are many replicas created today. Today, if you go to Vrindavan, they will show you Raman Reti. Then they will show you various places within Vrindavan. They said this pastime happened here. But that same pastime, you will also see in 84 course Parikrama, some other places. You know, how can the same pastime happen at two places? I think some replicas have been created by the devotees to facilitate smaran or remembrance of Lord Krishna. So we should understand that these replicas are created to facilitate that smaran or remembrance of Lord Krishna. But there are some replicas or some things which are at the exact places. For example, Radha Kund and Shyam Kund are the exact places where they were when Lord Krishna appeared. That is because Rupa Goswami Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out the exact, you know, location where Radha Kund and Shyam Kund were present. So some things are there at the exact places, some things have disappeared and devotees have created replicas. But still, those replicas also have value for smarana. They have value for remembering Krishna's pastimes. So we should honor all of those replicas as well as the original places which are still manifest in front of us. That is, yes, Prabhu.
So I have an extension of Mataji's first question. And also your class, like when you say now, because of that antardhyan shakti, this Vrindavan is disappearing, or for most of us is already disappeared.
Right.
But then there is a power of touchstone. Like, you know, we see the difference between an ordinary stone and a touchstone is it transforms.
Right.
It turns, like, you know, even a metal like iron to gold.
Right.
The whole life we are practicing with a singular goal to achieve like Golok Dham. And when we go to such places, are they going, I mean, they're no different than, you know. So if we go and strive for like, you know, even like, you know, forced way of seeing like, you know, I am in this Dham. And I don't know whether it has fully disappeared for me. I can't see anything. But still, my motive to coming this place is Krishna can see me. Whether he's prakatya or aparakatya.
Right.
I may not see him. But still, the power of that touchstone, which is still there, definitely may have some minute impact on me.
Sure. So, The comment is that even though it might have disappeared partially from our vision, still it is a touchstone we are not able to see, but it will still have its effect because it is a touchstone. And we should have that particular vision in our mind when we are visiting Sri Vrindavan. Yes, definitely that is there. The external vision with which we see Sri Vrindavan, that external vision we should purify and we should say to ourselves that this is Vrindavan. At the same time, there is a Vrindavan which can be seen by another eye, not the material eye. If we want to see Vrindavan, we should see Vrindavan also mainly through the eye of the Shastra, Shastra Chakshu. It's very important to see Vrindavan through the eyes of Srila Rupa Goswami. That eye is very important because it is through that eye that we will see Srimati Radharani and Krishna also. Otherwise, what will happen is, many times we go to Vrindavan and as a tourist we go sometimes. I have seen, you know, earlier I used to go for Tirtha Yatras and devotees with me, they would say, Prabhu, today we are going to do Govardhan and Barsana. I would say, that's too much in one day to do Govardhan and Barsana. But Prabhu, we have only few days. So let's do as many places as possible. And after they exhaust themselves for 5 or 6 days in the Yatra, we would go back to Mumbai and crash in Mumbai, you know, like an airplane which crashes after being loaded heavily. That's what would happen to us. And in Mumbai, we are dozing off, you know, and we are not able to think of Vrindavan. That is what would happen with us. So next time I said, Prabhu, you know, I will make the schedule, you know. What we will do is, we will, in the morning, we will have some class and we will read about Vrindavan, try to see Vrindavan from the eyes of the Goswamis. And then in the afternoon and evening, we will go for visiting one place. Alright, and it's not the final yatra of our life, you know that. So, in this yatra, we will cover certain places. Okay, we will decide and we are not going to deviate from that schedule. Nobody will add anything, nobody will remove anything from the schedule. So, they all said okay. So then, next year we went to one place per day and we were studying and discussing for the rest of the day. That's very nice. That's very nice. Otherwise, it becomes like a tourism. You know, you pay a tourism tourist operator, and they take you everywhere, all those places. Therefore, that 84 course yatra in which happens in Vrindavan is spread over 1 month. It's spread over 1 month so that you can go to one place every day and then, you know, happily come back. Not that 5 places. Oh, I saw 5 places in one day. I went to Govardhan, I went to Barsana, I went to, you know, so many places, I came back. So that is like, that vision is not as beneficial as having the vision which is there of Shastra. Shastra Chakshush is very important. And that vision is most required for us. At the moment of death, it is Shastra Chakshu which will save us. That vision which we developed by hearing of Sri Vrindavan from the Shastra of the previous Acharya. And I want to ask another question. What about a person who is blind? Blind since birth. How can he see Vrindavan? He can only see through Shastra Chakshu. So dear devotees, that is the most important Chakshu which is required for, you know, seeing Sri Vrindavan Dham. All right. He can read. They can read. Somebody who is deaf can read. Somebody who is born blind can hear. Somebody who is blind as well as deaf, they can touch. They can. There some special literatures are there. It's called Braille. You know, Braille is, you know, you can touch and understand. They can touch Vrindavan Dham. They can understand.
I have heard from different speaker, people who commit offenses in Vrindavan especially, they otherwise they have very nice practice. But if they are Brajvasi, born in Vrindavan, but by some arrangement they are committing offenses, it is said like Vrindavan is your last, you know, this is your last life. But still, if you do some grave offenses, you will be born again in Braja, but you will not be able to see, speak, and hear anything.
Okay.
And that's where.
So somebody, the question is, if somebody is born in Brajadham and they commit offenses there, then the result is that in the next life they will again be born in Brajadham, but they will be born disabled. That is what the origin of all of this is in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because Sri Sanatan Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamritam has quoted a verse: Mathurayam kritam papam Mathurayam pranashyati. Whatever offenses are committed in Mathura also are exhausted in Mathura. So they cannot be exhausted in any other place. So by this, many devotees have elaborated upon this by saying that anybody who commits offenses in Mathura, Mathura means Mathura Mandal, the 84 coasts, Mathura Mandal, they will again be born in that Mathura Mandal and they will again be cleansed of that offense. But it is up to Lord Krishna. If Krishna wants, that cleansing can happen within that life itself. So there is no fixed rule. Mathurayam kritam papam, any offense committed in Mathura, Mathurayam pranashyati, will be exhausted in Mathura. How, where and when is not according to a fixed formula. It is purely by the desire of Krishna. Sometimes it may require a devotee to take another birth if Krishna desires so. That is what is the rule here. The rule is, if Krishna desires so, it may happen. If not, Krishna may take such a person back in that very life. So there is no fixed formula as far as Sri Vrindavan or Mathura Mandali is concerned. All right. Yes. One question we can take. One or two questions we can take.
Prabhu, so I wanted to ask a couple of questions, but first this one. So the first question is, you talked about the Antardhyan Shakti and when the Lord leaves the Dham, like his physical touch, so the Dham also disappears. So you mentioned about two places in your class, like Matsyadev and the Narsimha, like the places have disappeared already, but just Vrindavan, by the mercy of Vrindavan, is still staying there. So is it because, so whose desire is this, that when I disappear, the Dham should disappear? Because other two places that you mentioned is not Krishna's direct past, like they are the expansions of Krishna.
Right.
So because, is that the reason when, like, it's Vishnu, let's say, he disappeared, Dham disappears, but because this is Krishna's place, like Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka, or even Jagannath Puri are still existing, is it because Krishna is like the supreme personality of Godhead? He's like more merciful and his Dham chooses, like his Antardhyan Shakti is acting partially, not completely disappearing after.
So the question is this partial disappearance of the Dham only in the case of Lord Krishna and not in the case of other incarnations? No. Even in the case of Lord Ramchandra, the Dham is still there. So there is Chitrakoot, there is Nasik, there are all the Rameshwaram, the ocean, and the Setu is also visible today. So these, but they are partially disappeared from vision. So it is purely by the desire of that Dham, how much it wants to stay, how much it wants to, you know, disappear. So Krishna gives independence to all the entities connected to itself. No, it's not that. They are Krishna's energies. That is Sandini Shakti of Krishna. The Dham, what is Dham? Dham is Sandini Shakti of Bhagavan Krishna. So Shakti, she is independent. She is independent. She is dependent on Krishna also, but in many ways she is independent. She can decide how much she wants to manifest, how much she wants to unmanifest. So that is what, ultimately she is dependent on Krishna. But Krishna gives a lot of freedom to, you know, his energies or his Shaktis. That is the nature of Krishna. So some Dhams are still there, even though it is not Krishna. It's the Sandini Shakti of Lord Krishna, which is there.
You mentioned about Jiva Goswami is describing in Krishna Sandarbha that there are Kadamba trees that are still manifested in, they are still manifesting in Vrindavan. Are there other things that Jiva Goswami talks about in Vrindavan which are still existing and we can see them?
Okay. Are there other things besides the Kadamba trees which are there in Vrindavan which are still existing? Yes, there is Govardhan. And there is Yamuna, you know, Govardhan is still existing. Yeah. Brajraj, you can say Brajraj has disappeared, you know, that may be Raj from some other places, you know. But Govardhan, we have no doubt that Govardhan hill is from, nobody created that hill. Okay. It's not a replica hill. Govardhan is Govardhan as it was 5,000 years ago. But disappearing. As I said, it's Sandini Shakti. It will disappear at its own sweet will. That's why Jiva Goswami has dedicated an entire section to explaining this thing for the devotees. So dear devotees, don't be disappointed that, you know, Vrindavan is gradually disappearing. That will happen. But the Vrindavan which is there in Shastra will always remain. And we should try to keep this Vrindavan also as it is for as long as possible. It is our responsibility to keep that Vrindavan as it is for as long as possible. How do you keep it as it is? Time to time, renew the replicas. You know, from time to time, keep renewing the replicas. And some things you cannot renew. You cannot renew Govardhan. You know, so you have no control over that aspect. But all the replicas we should keep renewing from time to time. So you see, every year they will clean Radha Kund. How many years they clean Radha Kund, Prabhu? 10 years. They will clean Radha Kund. Then every few years they will build the ghats around the Kunds again. You know, so Kusum Sarovar. So much renovation is being done from time to time. But renovation should be done in such a way that the mood and spirit of the dham can stay. There is a place in Vrindavan, Parikrama, which is maintained exactly as Vrindavan was 500 years ago, without electricity, without anything. In Vrindavan Parikrama, there is a place called Tatiyasthan. So I don't know how many of us have visited Vrindavan. In Vrindavan Parikrama, it is called as Tatiyasthan. Tatiya means bamboo. Bamboo is called as Tatiya in Hindi. So Tatiya is bamboo. The sadhus, they made an area for themselves and they covered it with bamboos. So they are sadhus from other Vaishnav Sampradayas. They are doing their bhajan there and they have maintained it as it was 500 years ago. No electricity, they are fanning the Lord using traditional fans, no electric fans. So no electricity, no modern equipment, no nothing. You just go and visit there, you will see all the trees that were there 500 years ago. You know, all those things are present there in Tatiyasthan. There is one place in Vrindavan which they have maintained exactly as it was 500 years ago. And there are very few things which are remaining from 5,000 years ago. Govardhan being one of them. Right. So, that's anybody else? We'll take one last question and then we'll pause. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Early in your class, you mentioned the Sri Mada in relation to the verse. And I was wondering, because for many devotees, or for most of us, on paper, this is a very black and white issue, that we should avoid wealth. And we know that it causes suffering. But also we hear from Sri Vishwanath and Madhurya Kadambani that this is something that will naturally come as we practice bhakti. And so how does one deal with that when they find themselves in that gray area where they are being given something because of the practice of their bhakti and they have to not become carried away with it?
Okay. So the question is, we already know that Sri Mada, intoxication of wealth, is not good. But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said in his Madhurya Kadambini that along with the practice of bhakti, wealth will automatically come, because when a devotee grows in his or her spiritual life, there are people who are attracted to them and they consider them as their shiksha. Sometimes they become diksha guru also. And when they have diksha guru, they give them some pranami. Pranami means they give them some wealth. So the guru has no more headache for wealth at that point of time. So does the guru also not develop Shri? How to avoid that? So the thing is, a brahmana is supposed to perform 6 functions in life. Pathan, patan, yajan, yajan, dan, parigrahan. Pathan, patan. First, he should himself read. Patan, he should make others read. Yajan, he should himself offer sacrifice, especially sankirtan. Yajan, he should include others in performing that sacrifice. Dan, and he should also donate something. What should they donate? When he knows that I am already over my requirement, my requirements are fulfilled, I don't need more. that time any excess should be given to another needy Vaishnav. Needy Vaishnav. Now this needy Vaishnav should not be selected according to any specific concern, institutional concerns or any, you know, I will give only to my gurus. Needy Vaishnav means any Vaishnav who is really in need of that Lakshmi. Somebody who is definitely in need of that money. They should be given that money. Why? Because we are giving not to that person. We are giving to our own selves. We are not giving. When we give, we are not, it doesn't, you know, it's not that it has become subtracted from our lives. We are giving it to our own selves in our next lives. Although we are not supposed to take a next life. Ideally, we pray that everybody goes back home, back to Godhead. But if unfortunately we are not able to go back home, back to Godhead, we will need something in our next life. But that something will arrive from our previous life. Purvadattam chayaddanam, purvadattam chayaddhanam. Purvadatta chaya kanya agre dhavati dhavati. Purvadattam chayad gyanam, whatever knowledge was given by us in this life. Purvadattam chayad dhanam, whatever wealth was given by us in this life. Purvadatta chaya kanya, if we had a daughter and if we gave her, you know, it is called kanyadan, we gave her to a suitable husband, agre dhavati dhavati. It will come running before us in our next lives. Before we arrive in our next life, that will be present before us. So that knowledge, that wealth and a good spouse will be arranged for us before we take the next birth. That is why we are giving to our own selves, dear devotees. We are not giving to anybody else. Thank you very much, dear devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tai Gaur Premanande. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Subhashit Ratna Bhandagar. It is a collection of 10,000 Sanskrit wisdom quotes. It's not yet translated. Subhashit Ratna Bhandagar. So from time to time, I pick up some verses from Subhashit Ratna Bhandagar. Because each verse is like a gem. You quote it at the proper place. It's a solution. It's a life solution for... Yes. That's also Subhashit Ratna. Yes. Me and him, we write an article every month on one Subhashit. So that's actually my translation and he comments upon it. Yes. Yes. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So every month in BTG magazine we are doing that. India BTG. Comments. I do the translation and he writes, because he's very good in his English. He writes the commentary upon it. And my specialization is the Sanskrit. I do the translation. Yes. No, there are many who which are not translated. Thousands and thousands are lying untranslated. So what to do? Oh. Hare Krishna. It's very kind of you. Thank you. Thank you.